Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna on News Talk.
Now, endometriosis affects roughly 10% of women and girls globally. That's 190 million of them. It's a chronic disease associated with severe, life-impacting pain for which there is no known cure. The average wait time for diagnosis is 9 years, and much of this is attributed to women not being listened to and told to accept their pain as part of their period. The impact this can have on their ability to work, get an education, their relationships, their mental and physical health is enormous, and yet not enough is being done in the areas of research to find out why this happens and how best to manage it. Endometriosis Ireland held their annual congress in Dublin last weekend, and I went along to meet some of the people who are pushing for change. Serena Massey is CEO of Endometriosis Ireland.
So Serena, you are one of the main organisers of today. Why was it important for you to have this conference?
Well, first of all, it's a great opportunity to sort of tell people that we have a refreshed brand coming. We have, you know, extra life in the charity because they've now hired a full-time member of staff, which is me. So it's really important that we get the community excited again because they feel so alone and so unsupported, and I totally understand why. But we've never had the ability to actually, you know, do much based on volunteers only running the charity. So it's great now to have a full-time member of staff being me, just focusing on all the things we need to do to make a difference. So today is critical on that journey to let people know what we're doing, to let people know who we are, put faces to the names, and to the whole team is called Connection. So it's to connect the community, connect the experts, bring the whole thing together, because without all of the stakeholders on board being committed, nothing will change. So we need everyone aligned.
And you've been brought on board not only for your skill set, but you have a personal connection to endometriosis.
I do. I have lived with endo most of my adult life, and I put up with it, as probably many people have. We just thought in our family we had really bad periods, and it was all the women were affected, cousins and aunties and my mum and everything. But for my daughter, who now has it, and we're going through the whole diagnosis stage and the laparoscopy waiting list, I'm much more, pushy about her care than I was about my own. And I see that with a lot of people, the next generation coming. We don't want our daughters or our, you know, nieces or anybody else that we know or care about going through what we've gone through. And I think that's driving us really hard this time. It wasn't good enough for us either, by the way, but, you know, we've had to survive, and we have. But we're not going to accept it anymore.
And because of the chronic pain, this impacts so many areas of anyone who has it. So as you're saying, education, work, relationships, social life, mental health, it just ripples out into all areas. So what are some of the key things on the to-do list for Endometriosis Ireland that you're calling for?
So definitely the framework to be published, because that's a starting point for people. So that means when you notice these symptoms, when you feel that you need extra support, that it's not just a bad period, that you're actually not able to manage day-to-day tasks, you know where to go, and the GP most importantly knows the process, and it's a clear pathway for a patient to follow. So that's step one, and that's something we're working tirelessly on, and hoping to, you know, work with all the key stakeholders to make that possible. The next thing is, we would love to be able to support the community more than we have been. So we would love to be able to provide a support line service. We get an awful lot of people contacting us in desperation for help, for guidance on where to go, what to do, should they go abroad, should they have a hysterectomy. Lots of people who don't know where to turn and don't know who to trust. So a care line would be amazing to have, and we already have a nurse who volunteers with our charity, but we only have a certain amount of time with them a week, so we need to develop those services. We are going to be starting a support service a monthly support service with a dedicated counsellor. So it will be a support group online, and that will be kicking off in April. So listen out to hear more about that. And we are going to be hosting a huge event at the end of the summer, where we are hoping to raise funds to kick off a huge year next year, where we can dedicate time and resources to research, to education, to raising awareness, to working in partnership with corporates, to working in partnership with the government. We want to bring the HSE into the future. We want to provide information for the new HSE app. We want everything geared around the younger people and the people who are suffering with endo, so that we can make access to information and treatment much easier and more accessible. So that's a lot of information that we would like to do, but we're only starting. So we're learning, and we want people to tell us what they want as well, so we can help.
So I'm Dr. Kleena Murphy. I'm a consultant obstetrician gynecologist, and I'm clinical director of the National Women and Infants Health Programme.
And Kleena, what can you tell me about where we're at in Ireland when it comes to the treatment of endometriosis?
Where we are now is we've established two super regional centres, so sub-specialised centres in Cork and in Dublin, in Tala, down the road, where complex endometriosis it can be dealt with regard to surgery, so the specialised radiology, the specialised colorectal surgeons if required. So the whole multidisciplinary approach is really important. Then there's regional centres which have endometriosis teams, and it's very important that besides the surgeon, you also have specialist nurses, you have dietitians, you know, and ancillary services that support the patient, because we do know it's a journey, and it's a chronic disease. It doesn't necessarily just up and stop for all people. So that's made a huge difference. The other thing that has been happening in tandem is an improvement in access to actually getting to be assessed, you know, was a big barrier. And that's, we've seen that in the UK and in Australia, that's been identified as well. So one way that you can improve that is by, you know, expediting that access to care. So the journey from a GP to see a specialist to be assessed and have endometriosis considered and explored as a possibility. So I can say that, you know, even in the last number of years, that really has improved. So looking back to 2021, 20% of women on the waiting list for gynaecology were waiting more than a year for access to gynaecology services. So fast forward to 2025, you know, there's about 3% are waiting more than a year. So that's made a huge difference, because not everybody knows that they've endometriosis on a waiting list. You know, the important thing is to get there and be assessed. So that has improved access to care overall, has improved access to care for endometriosis sufferers. So, you know, we need to keep that up. We need to develop some of the regional centres and get more of that support for the multidisciplinary team. But I can say with regard to specialised services, in 2024, over 1,200 patients were seen in specialised services, both regional and super-regional services, and there's, you know, dozens of complex surgeries performed every month within the dedicated services. And from the HSE perspective, you know, the funding that has been allocated has been, you know, 4.5 million. So I suppose from the policy perspective from the Department of Health, you know, it has translated into, you know, whole time equivalents of nurses and doctors and dietitians working specifically to improve care for patients suffering from endometriosis. What I would say, there's more to do. I totally acknowledge there's more to do. And one of the issues that endometriosis patients would say, that even after surgeries, pain can be an issue. So that is something we will need to address, is to have a kind of a framework for pain services and build that up in the country. Other positive developments would be, we've recently published endometriosis guidelines, and they're available on the HSE website. There's been a lot of, you know, clinician education, peer-to-peer support, strengthening ties between clinicians, and just really talking about how best to optimise services. And I know GP colleagues have done the same with endometriosis being discussed at webinars and courses and online learning that they have. So all of that adds to improving the care for the individual woman.
My name is Konstantinos Kyriakopoulos. I am an endometriosis surgeon based in Athens, Greece. Our job focuses exclusively on treating endometriosis. I have personally abandoned obstetrics or treating other gynecological conditions. And at the moment, we run the busiest endometriosis center in the southeast of Europe.
And a lot of Irish people travel to you for surgery.
Yes. The last years, there was an increase in the number of patients coming from Ireland, but also from other countries worldwide too. So problem of patient care is not only in Ireland, but also in other countries. In Greece too, it's the same everywhere.
And why did you want to specialize in this area?
In order to go and pursue a career in endometriosis, in treating endometriosis, I think all of us endometriosis surgeons, they had something specific that triggered this their decision. In my case, when I was a resident, we had many girls that came every month claiming that they have pain. So when I went to the hospital and I saw the same patients coming again and again, I asked the senior registrars, what's going on here? And they told me, okay, don't worry, you will know who these girls are. They are coming for years, but don't pay attention to them. They probably want, they're crazy, or they want to get some days off work, something like this. So I believed them because I was a junior registrar. But as years went by, so I came closer to these patients, and I saw that they were educated people. They had academic careers. They were not random people. They had PhDs. They were very educated. They had families. They were mothers. So something was not right. They couldn't. All these girls, they couldn't be pretending to have pain. Something was wrong. So at one point, I had one of these ladies that came again when I was on call. She was in a terrible condition. And she asked me, she told me that right now that we are talking, I cannot stand up and I feel that the inside of my abdomen is burning. Do you believe me? Of course, I couldn't say that I didn't believe her. She was not crazy, I knew her. But on the other hand, if I told her that, yes, I believe you, I would have to tell her why she's in pain, which I didn't know. I didn't have any explanation for that. And that was my trigger to dive into the world of endometriosis.
So what are some of the changes that you'd like to come in when it comes to endometriosis care that would help patients and you doing your work?
I think the last years we have been hearing more and more about endometriosis. This thing, I don't think it's a result of our effort, doctor's effort. It's a result of patients' effort, who push for a change. And what I would like to see, people that go to their GPs, they say that they have pain in their period, and the GP right away sends them to an endometriosis specialist. Because when someone, let's say that I go to the GP and I have a fracture in my knee, they will send me right away to the orthopedic. They will not tell me, take this medication and we will see if your knee is fixed or heals. But we will get there. We will get there. And events like today's conference are very important.
Ruthanne, you've just sang your new single, The Way I'm Wired, on stage. That was a big one. That's the first time you've sang it live in front of an audience.
Yeah, that was my first time singing it live, and I cried, obviously. I got through. I was like, I can get through it. And then I just, some of the lines, they get me every time. Even listen to it, it's hard for me to listen to. It's the most personal song I've ever written. So it was very vulnerable. And I kind of felt like I was standing there naked, very exposed. And because it's the Endo conference, it's all my people, it's all my community. So yeah, it got me a bit emotional. But hopefully I got most of the performance without crying.
the words speak for themselves. It's all the things you've had to say no to because of how you feel.
Yeah, it's really a song for me. It's a song that represents exactly how you feel when you're in that endo flare-up, when you're in that pain. And it's that moment in time. And so for me, sometimes that's very hard to explain to people, especially when I look fine on the outside and I've got my makeup on, my hair done, and they'll go, oh, but you look fine. Oh, but you sing fine. Oh, but you're doing fine. And I think sometimes with endometriosis, people don't understand it's an invisible illness. It's inside. So I can look fine, but not be fine at all and be very, very sick and not able to move. And I think this song hopefully is that song that people can find themselves in and feel seen and heard. But also, if you're struggling to find the words, send it to someone and say, this is how I feel.
And as you say, on the outside, everything looks fine. And you've got so much going on from Irish Women in Harmony. People see you at the Brit Awards, yeah. You know, yeah. And then you're really putting yourself out there with this. You did an incredible photo shoot this mm-hmm. week where you had body art put on to show what it actually feels like on the inside. Yeah. On the outside, I mean, you do bury your soul through all of your music yeah. anyway, but yeah. how does this feel, being this vulnerable?
It's very scary because I don't want to be, I'm not a victim of it. I don't want people to think, oh, poor you, you're sick, get over it type thing. But for me, it's too important to not. I meet so many women, I get DM'd by parents of 18-year-olds that are in leaving cert year. They don't know where to go. They don't know any information. They don't have the medical support. And so I want to raise awareness for it. I want to raise, I want it to be educated in schools. That's why I started a talk with my two sisters called Endo and Me. We go into schools and we give talks to teens about their bodies, male and female, because they need to know what goes on these conditions. And I just think it's too important when you have any type of platform. I think you have a responsibility to speak up about things that other people, you know, can't and don't have the listeners to. And I'm always a firm believer that you stand up for what you know about and can really talk about, as you know, mainly. And for me, that's endometriosis. And obviously, Irish Women in Harmony is female artists and raising money. So I just feel like it's too important not to. So if I, you know, I put myself out there, you know, if it gets anyone talking or if it helps anyone, then that's everything.
So what do you say to somebody who is suffering while we're pushing? And that's why I'm here. I don't have endometriosis. I think yeah. this is an every woman, every person
yeah.
issue.
Mm-hmm. It is.
What do you say to somebody who's suffering? What's your advice?
My advice is, first of all, to know that the first red flag of endometriosis is that periods are not meant to be excruciatingly painful. So if you're having to like skip work, skip school, heavily medicate yourself, the medicines, you know, over-the-counter medicines aren't touching the pain. If you're having to do all that, you need to go see your doctor. It's very, very important to know that this, you know, back in the day, we were all told that period pain was normal. And it is, to an extent of like mild uncomfortableness, but to the extent of being at home keeled over in the bed, vomiting, diarrhea, excruciating pain, heavy bleeding, that's not. So the first thing you need to do is go see your doctor. And the next thing you need to do is, if they're not listening to you and will try to tell you it's just a bad period, go find another doctor. I spent 2 years searching for the doctor that would listen to me, and I found him privately, which is a shame. But your health is your wealth. And so for me, you know, just do whatever you need to do to get seen. It's just too important.
Yeah. And finally, because we do have Lily May here on your knee, because I know that gives great hope to people that you were able to become a mom. That's not the be all and end all for every woman.
Yes.
But for a lot of women I know, endometriosis or adenomyosis can be a real worry when it comes to fertility. Mm-hmm. But you have two beautiful girls.
I have my miracles, and I really credit with my doctor. He really helped me carry. I have adenomyosis inside my uterus, so it can make getting pregnant difficult and carrying difficult. And I went through my own fertility struggles. It wasn't all, you know, it wasn't plain sailing at all. But I really credit. I went to a doctor who I said, look, what can you do to help me? And he helped me. He gave me the medicines that helped me carry my children, and that's why I have them. I also looked into holistic methods, like I did fertility acupuncture, which I found incredible. And I couldn't recommend that more to people out there. Fertility acupuncturist, which they have specialists here of. I had therapy. I started seeing my body as a whole, kind of mindfulness pillars of like anti-inflammatory foods and everything. I really had to, you know, changed my lifestyle a lot when I got endometriosis, because I kind of used to eat whatever I wanted. I was skinny. All of a sudden, I was bloating. I was putting on weight, whatever. And I it really, for me, came with a huge lifestyle change so that I amn't in pain. So there are home remedies that I'm not going to say it cures it, but can help you manage the symptoms better.
Yeah, holistic.
So holistic yeah. Approach. So definitely, I think when someone has endometriosis and fertility and everything, there's an amazing book by Dr. Larissa Corder called The Conception Plan. She's just launched a program, and she's an obstetrician gynecologist, but she also looks at the full body disease of endometriosis, the mental aspects, the whole body. It's not just a reproductive disease. And she has an amazing program for anyone who is struggling with their fertility or thinking about having a family. But I always say to people, I was so worried I wouldn't be able to get pregnant. I was so worried. And we did have struggles and losses and trauma with it. But I'm sitting here with my two girls because I just was like, I'm not giving up.
Well, thank you so much for being the epitome of using your voice, okay. Not only for us to listen to and enjoy, but everything you do for Irish women in music, Irish music, and also endometriosis. Thank you so, so much. And continued success to you.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much.
Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna. Sunday morning at 8 on News Talk.